Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Ambassador Prudence Bushnell, Dean, Leadership and Management School at the Foreign Service Institute. And joining us in our conversation is Kim Hinsman. Ambassador, as you mentioned in the previous segment, you were ambassador to Kenya at the time of the bombing in 1998. Could you tell us what it's like to manage during a crisis like that, during the attack and the days that followed?
Let me situate you. The embassy was in a very, very busy downtown area of Nairobi. The explosives amounted to about 2 tons that went off on this very busy intersection. Within a nanosecond of the explosion, 213 people died. Over 5,000 people were wounded, mainly from the chest up, which meant an enormous amount of blood. About 150 businesses were instantly destroyed, and a 2-mile radius of the bomb site was devastated. We had, within 5 minutes, about 20,000 people on our in front of the embassy because the building next door to us had completely collapsed. This was a 7-story building that pancaked, and windows in all of the buildings in our area had been blasted out. There was no 911. This was a city that had a minimum amount of resources for itself in the best of times, and in the worst of times was completely inadequately prepared. What is different from what happened to us to what happened to people in 9/11 in New York, as an example, is that we, the victims, had to be our own rescuers. We had about 50% casualties in the Chancery Building, in the building that was blown up. The other 50% of the people came out onto the sidewalk, regrouped, and then went back into what was by that time a death trap of a building to bring out their dead colleagues, their wounded colleagues, and go under the rubble to find those who survived. We went from there to finding the many, many people who were missing, because I did not want any of us to stop until we could account for every single person in the mission, both Kenyan and American. We sent out teams to go through morgues, hospitals, neighborhoods to find our people. Meanwhile, we were recreating our embassy and an emergency action center at another building within town. There was, as you can imagine, a flood of media, a flood of attention. There was an inordinate amount of need on the Kenyan side, so we were trying to deal with the needs that the Kenyans had, in addition to taking care of ourselves and recreating our community and our organization. Most of the people, most of my colleagues, American colleagues, who had an opportunity to curtail from their assignment, chose not to. And even those who had been evacuated for medical attention returned, many of them with shards of glass still in them. Most of our Kenyan employees continued to work. And as a community, we reconstructed ourselves. We continued the bilateral business and recreating the bridge of friendship, which was sorely mangled at the point of the bombing, and we carried on. It was the most extraordinary lesson in leadership and exercise of leadership that I have ever gone through, and certainly changed my life and my thinking about what leadership is all about.
Well, tell us some of those lessons you learned and how your thinking changed.
Let me give you an example. During the first few horrible, horrible hours, when we really were all by ourselves before any rescuers from outside could come and help us, I could hear on the embassy radio net, everything that people were doing to help out, to rescue our colleagues. And it created in me an incredible need to be worthy of these people who were doing so much. Some weeks later, one of them came up to me and said, "Geez, Ambassador, you know, we were really trying so hard to keep up with you." I said, "Well, I was trying hard to keep up with you." So there was this incredible synergy that was created. And as I think about the leadership components of that synergy, what it was included a team that of people who knew one another and trusted one another, because I had spent a lot of time in the 2 years I was in Nairobi before the bombing creating teams and having us work together as teams. Being a team member and trusting one another doesn't mean you have to like one another necessarily, but trust and knowing how to accommodate one's work style was terribly important. So we had a team that was familiar with one another. We had a leader. I had experience in crises as a result of having worked as Deputy Assistant Secretary for African Affairs. I had a fair amount of experience in leadership. And very importantly, I had a relationship with my team. They trusted me, and I trusted them. And I think they knew they could depend on me as I knew I could depend on them. And the third was a sense of mission that encompassed all of us. Failure was not an option. It was unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable, to do anything but pick ourselves up and help one another get through what was a catastrophe. So, team, leader, and mission to create this incredible sense of synergy where when one falters, the other can sort of pick you up temporarily and go forward.
The terrorist attacks on these embassies were front page news. How often are Foreign Service officers confronted with managing crisis and we don't hear about it in the news?
Very often. The part of the Leadership and Management School is a division called the Crisis Management Training Division. We recently did a survey of our colleagues overseas, all direct hire Department of State personnel, civil service, foreign service, and foreign service national who work in our embassies overseas, to find out just what experience with crises people have. And the crises we're talking about are crises as defined in our Foreign Affairs Handbook. So we're talking hijacking, hostage, bombing, chembio, natural disaster, beyond the kinds of crises that we can get involved in, traffic accidents and family crises. So these are fairly, I think, major crises. What the survey came back with was that 67% of our people overseas have either been a victim of or involved in resolving a crisis. When you talk about the population within the Foreign Service, the population of generalists with 15 years experience or more, that number goes up to 87%. So what I learned recently is that we who are, as Secretary Powell says, on the front line of offense truly are the Americans with our Foreign Service national colleagues who are facing incredible dangers that are becoming more and more serious every day.
I understand the Leadership and Management School has a course about crisis management. Could you tell us about that course?
In part because of this incredible statistic, I have to tell you that all of us who work at State and are in the Foreign Service acknowledge that we deal with crises, and we have sort of taken it for granted. We also recognize that we had jolly well better prepare ourselves. So the handling crises and dealing with personal security permeates many, many of the courses in the Foreign Service Institute. It is mandatory, for example, that every employee of the U.S. government go through a security course. And we actively encourage spouses and children to go through that personal security course as well. In addition, the crisis management team, which I mentioned to you, that works within the Leadership and Management School, travels to literally all parts of the globe to exercise 50% of our embassies every year. So these people create post-specific scenarios, then go to the posts and work with the Emergency Action Committee of the United States Mission, the Americans, and the national employees to go through a scenario and help them become better prepared. Every 2 years, 100% of the posts in the world will have gone through a crisis management exercise, and we will exercise posts more frequently if they need it. In addition, we recently created a crisis leadership training for senior leaders. And what this does is to extract from the array of management and leadership skills that are useful at any time those specific skills that are needed in times of crisis. And we train people specifically to those skills.
It's interesting, especially the part about the training specifically for that. What does one do when their job description includes promoting democracy? We'll ask Ambassador Prudence Bushnell to help us get a better picture of what a Foreign Service officer does when the Business of Government Hour continues.